So over the last 2 weeks, you know, we're doing our winter Bible study on Acts chapter 17. We started the first week back in verse 16 and walked our way through kind of really an overview and a background of what's going on in this particular passage. Just to kind of jog your memory, remember, Paul is at Athens and he is encountering all of the learned philosophers, thinkers of the day and the council there on Mars Hill. And in that particular interaction, he acknowledges to them that they understand an unknown God. And Paul comes with the great news that Christ, or Jesus, and what he did as the Son of God is God. And so he is advocating that. He's witnessing to them. And in that first week, we kind of overviewed the fact that we live in an Acts 17 world in a lot of ways today, where you have a lot of knowledge and things that people believe to be true but aren't necessarily true. And so in that, we're faced with much of the same struggles that I think Paul faced in this day in making sure that we have a response to all of the objections that may be coming from the world about what the real truth is. Then last week, we jumped in and looked at what the truth is and how we communicate that to the lost world. And that's a deep discussion. We've got to know what truth is first and then be able to figure out how to communicate that. Today, we park on the idea of God's plan and what that plan looks like and how do we communicate that to the lost world. Now, come back next week and we'll finish up the four-week series by looking at the answer that the lost world needs to give to Christ. And that is, of course, accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior and understanding personally what he did to forgive them of their sins and provide an opportunity for them to now walk anew in Christ. So with that said, our passage today carries on. It's verse 26-29. And in this, Paul continues to kind of frame up. And I think here he's laying out the plan, God's plan. Now, here's how we approach this. I believe that God has a plan for this world that includes you, that includes me, that includes circumstances, sometimes even being able to use bad things that happen in life and being able to use those for his good. And we've got to learn to trust that plan, but also understanding, as we'll learn today, that there's really, that we can deviate from that plan, but there are very rare, in fact, I don't think ever, can one single person throw God's plan off its rails and God just throws his arms up and says, well, I didn't see that one coming. I don't know what to do now. That would never be said by God. So in that, there's a little bit of security in his plan, but there's the challenge that we've got to trust that plan, even when we don't understand it. Now, you and I as believers know that. But how do we communicate that to the lost world? And that's what we want to focus on today. So let's pray, and then we'll jump right into our passage together, reading then in verses 26 through 29. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the blessing, again, of your word and what we've been able to learn thus far moving through this passage over the last 2 weeks. And I pray this morning that you would fill our hearts, God, with certainly an ability to see your plan playing out in our lives as believers. From maybe even when we were a child and maybe coming to church, accepting Christ, and some of the decisions that we've made through life, sometimes good decisions, sometimes bad decisions. But being able to see through that, really what I like to think of as the thread of your plan being kind of weaved through different parts of our lives. And God, the good news in that is even when we mess up and make mistakes and choose the wrong direction, you have always seen fit to provide detours and other on-ramps, if you will, back onto your plan. And that's where the challenge in being obedient to follow you, even in those times where we don't understand. Or maybe we feel like you've left us or we've messed up so badly that there's no way of recovering. God, help us as believers this morning as we work through this to put all of those fears aside and understand in our hearts what that plan is and that it's a divine plan. And sometimes we don't know all the ins and outs of it, but the key is we learn to trust that. Now, God, in order, I think, to communicate to the lost world the plan of God, we've got to kind of understand that in our hearts ourselves. So as we do that, then help us to be able to be your tools and instruments in sharing the good news about God's plan, which is encompassing the gospel to the lost world. And so God, as we walk through this today, I pray for the heart of the believer. Open us up, help us to maybe sort out the rough areas in our life where we're not giving over to your plan. Maybe where we've rejected it, maybe where we're struggling with it, maybe where we're dealing with a little bit of anxiety and fear in certain areas of our life where we don't see your plan working out. So God, we pray, work in our hearts, but we also pray for that lost person this morning, that above all things, that what they would understand is that God is big enough and strong enough to have created a plan that he wants them to be a part of. And that begins, I believe, in the understanding of that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. So my prayer this morning is those lost people, whether they be here in our sanctuary or watching us on live stream or listening to this on podcast later this week, that what they above all things would realize that Jesus died on the cross so they could be set free from their sin, to be forgiven of that, and then be made new, to now find new purpose in God's plan. So God, as we walk through this, I pray for that power of conviction. Now God, as always, bless the reading of your word as we spend time in it today. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Start reading with me in verse 26. We'll go down to verse 29. I'm reading out of New Living Translation today, and you should see this on the screen. From one man, now this is kind of catching mid-conversation where we were last week. So God is saying, or Paul is saying, from one man he created all of the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. Now again, building on where we were last week, where he kind of paints this idea of who God is and his power and the fact that we can have alternative truths, but the real truth is found in God and his word, the scriptures. So here he is sort of setting again this idea that listen, God has not only created us, but he's also created the plan that now begins to map out our world. Now, that's a profound statement to a group of philosophers in the day who had rejected who God was and didn't understand this idea of plan. And if you go into what we talked about 2 weeks ago, you had some who believed that the world just sort of was created, not by any master plan, and just whatever happened, happened. And so for Paul to come in and now to begin to claim that there is an intellectual thinking God that has laid out certain things now begins to sort of throw everything they believe up in the air. And I think the same thing happens in our world today when we begin to sort of put this idea that there are, I believe, rhyme and reason to certain things. And there are things that we can't control, but there are some things that we can control, and learning to live by faith in the midst of those things. Well, he goes on in verse 27, and he begins to talk a little bit about God's purpose here. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. There's two things here that I think are important, one of which is this: God created us to know him. And no matter what you think about your life or what happens in the world or the bigger picture of God's plan, his desire is for us to know him. And not just know of him or have an academic knowledge of him and the history that sort of propels him, but to understand who he is in our heart and to know him in that relationship that we speak of that comes only by way of Jesus. But the other thing that he's talking about here is this idea that God is never very far from us. And the truth leads to the idea that we don't have to go searching very far to find that truth that now begins to tell us the true meaning of who God is and where he is. See, this is something we'll get into in a moment, but I believe God is sovereign. With that, we understand that God is not just contained in a temple or in a church. He is everywhere you and I are. Now that doesn't mean that we're distorting from the fact that he is a thing. He is a deity. He is a God. He's not, what I'm saying, in all things. That pew is not God. That's not what I'm saying. But God is so big and powerful enough that you can't hide from him, nor can you go into places that his presence is not there. And so you think about this as we kind of walk through this, helping them to understand that there's purpose and meaning in life. There's rhyme and reason to it, to then begin to encounter this idea that there is a plan that God has placed, and it's for us to know him and now begin to understand that he has orchestrated certain things. Well, he goes on then in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and exist." He's talking about God's power here. "As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Verse 29, "And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone." Now we're going to stop there, pick up in verse 30 next week. But as I said, what I want to do now is come back at this and look at it from kind of a bird's eye view and ask this question: how do we go about in a very practical sense today as believers to share God's plan with the lost world? When they don't know God and they don't understand that this plan exists, how do we have those conversations? Well, it's a challenge. It's not easy. Much like what we said last week about telling them about God's truth, that sometimes can become very difficult. But because we know that truth, we now begin to share that truth. And as we said last week, there are certain parts we don't know. We can't know everything, but we trust those, and we begin to tell God's truth based on what God has done in our life and how he's changed us and the way we've seen that truth. No different in sharing God's plan. We can share God's plan because we're experiencing God's plan. Not just on an individual level, but in on the big level too. And learning, just like we said in the idea of truth, learning that when we don't understand certain things, that we then begin to trust God to use that in a way that maybe we don't see right now, but believing that he's big enough and strong enough to be able to work through that and take something that we look at as a tragedy or a crisis or a disruption, and God uses that either to change other people or change us, or maybe both. And beginning to realize that, and through experience, learning to just trust God but take steps based on his direction. That's what we're trying to communicate to the lost world. And we can't do that if we ourselves are not understanding that. So here's three ways that I think we can extract from this story of how we can share God's plan with the lost world effectively. Number one is this, and I've said this several times in my opener just to kind of get us ready to think about this, but number one, you'll see on the screen, God is big enough to create his plan. That's the first thing. I mean, if you are a believer, then I don't know how you view God, but here's how I view him. I believe that God created all things. We've said this. And I said the other day that from the very beginning, God created you, he created me, he created this world that we live in, and then this world corrupted itself by choosing to sin. Now that was not God's plan, but yet God knew that was going to happen. Now I'm not trying to get philosophical here, but when that happened, God was not shocked by it or surprised by it or thrown off by it. He knew that was going to happen, but out of his love, he gave Adam and Eve the choice. And of course, they chose to sin. And so because of that, the world is in a fallen state, and we're in need of redemption. So the answer to that is Jesus. Now listen, God planned that. From the very beginning, understanding that when Adam and Eve were created, that they were going to be corrupt and choose to rebel and sin and mess things up, and God would then put in place the next part of his plan. Now, just think about this for a moment. If God can do that in such a huge situation, don't you think that he has plans to deal with on the small things in our lives? Maybe even some of the big things, of course, but even the small things. And I'm not one who believes that God doesn't care about the small things, that he only cares about the big things, and that he really is focused on all things in our life. And he wants us to see that. And he wants us to understand his place or his plan in each one of those things. Whatever life throws at us. And what I'm saying here is because we live in a fallen world, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes sin shows up at our doorstep and tragedies occur. I assure you, God never intended those things, but because we live in a fallen world based on our choice, then we suffer, but God always shows up. And he creates opportunities out of those, and through his divine grace, he grows us and changes us and transforms us to be stronger in him. And to be able then to be able to be used as his tools and instruments in the lost world that's watching those things. So one of the things that we have to be able to communicate is that we believe that God is big enough to create a plan. That he's done that from the very beginning. And he's continuing to do that today. And whatever happens tomorrow or next year, God has already situated you and I in that. And he has a plan for us as a church and as individuals. And so we have to begin to learn to trust him. Now, I've said this before, and I think I said it just a couple of weeks ago. Maybe the first week when we were talking about sort of the introduction of this and God's plan and the idea of that. You're noticing now in that first sermon, we talked about the need. And out of that, each week our points are coming, right? So we had truth last week, this week we have plan, and then next week is the response or the answer. So there's rhyme or reason in the way that we're kind of approaching this. So several weeks ago I said this, in my experience, God doesn't always show me the fullness of his plan at that moment. Sometimes he only shows me maybe just a little part of it. But learning to take that step in stride based on his guidance, and then trusting him for what I don't see and what I don't understand. I mean, I guess for me, and again, I'm a movie buff and I love movies, but is the Indiana Jones, maybe it's the Temple of Doom, I'm getting old enough, I don't remember the name, but it's when he is about to cross the canyon to go into the inner part of this temple. What is that? It's what? Last Crusade, thank you. I stand corrected. Last Crusade. Now we're accurate on this, okay? And just stick with me. So he's wanting to cross that canyon, and what does he do? He knows that there must be something there, but he takes some stones and he throws them, and the path begins to be revealed. Listen, man, that image becomes almost a perfect image sometimes of my walk with the Lord in carrying out the plan that he's laid before me. I don't always see it. I know it's got to be there. I know there's a step I got to take. And maybe it's not throwing the stones, but it's saying some prayer and trusting him, and he makes that next step. And then we make another step. And throughout that, it becomes obvious, and then I can see the whole thing in his due time. Listen, it is about being able to trust that even when we don't see it, but believing first and foremost that he's big enough to provide those things and that he has a plan that is encompassing us. And for the lost person, I think this is, we don't just say that God is big enough, but he's big enough in that from the very beginning he was present. And again, a lost world, and certainly Paul encounters this on Mars Hill, there was certain doubt over the existence of God. And in their mindset, there were multiple gods, and they wanted to cover their bases, so they would just advocate worshiping whatever, you know, any of them, all of them maybe. And there are probably some in our world today that still probably fit into that category. But for you and I, as we communicate to the lost world, is that there is one God that created everything, and everything else falls short. They become false truths or misnomers or attempts to try to understand something that we're not willing to see. And remember what we saw in our passage? It's not that far away. It's just right there. And for the lost person, it's about walking them through the idea that God is big enough, that he created them, and he has a plan, and as we'll get to in a moment, he's going to include them in that plan. But understanding, here's the word. Sovereignty. We said it a moment ago, that God is sovereign. He's big. He's great. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. There's not a thing that can happen that he doesn't have control over, but sometimes in our lost world, he acts in certain ways, and other times he doesn't. And it's not about trying to figure out why he didn't or did, but it's about trusting him through that and understanding that he has a greater purpose in what he's doing. So I prayed for our world and our nation particularly at the beginning. I mean, listen, this is probably one of the most unusual times in our lifetime. We're about to approach a presidential election. We've got all kinds of different things going on in the world and challenges. Our economy is struggling right now. Let's just be honest about that. There is enough for us to move into a state of fear and anxiety and throw our hands up and say, where's God in all of this? Well, here's the answer. God is right here. He's not too far that we can't see him, but it's during times like these that we have to learn to trust him. And even though things may be chaotic and uncertain and we don't know where we're going, we know he's big enough and bigger than any of the things that we may fear in front of us for our nation, our family, or ourselves, and learning to rest in that sovereignty that God has. Amen? And not operating out of fear. And that's why I think if we're going to communicate to a lost world that our God is big enough, not only saying that, but living according to that. That they're not seeing us, I hate to say it this way, but freaking out and operating in fear about the what ifs. And there are a lot of things that could create fear. But as a believer, we trust him. And we trust him for what's going to happen. And no matter what happens, God is still sovereign and on his throne. And we trust that. And God's going to operate his plan. And even though we may not agree with it, or like it, or understand it, he still carries that out. Number two is this. As we share with the lost world God's plan, we've got to make sure that we communicate that he's big enough to create it. Number two is this. God is strong enough to keep his plan. Now, I want to kind of go a different angle on this one. If God's big enough to create the plan, he also gives us individually the opportunity to choose to follow it or not follow it. And this is where I kind of want us to understand. In a lost world, there is what I believe free will. We get to choose. God loves us so much, and we saw that demonstrated with Adam and Eve. He loves them so much that he gave them the choice to love him enough to keep his commands. Well, they didn't. And that same choice comes for you and I, that we get to choose. God loves us, there's no question about that, more than we can ever grasp or comprehend, but he gives us a choice of whether we're going to love him back. And out of that, be obedient to the plan. Now, let's be real here. There are times that we mess up and we do stupid things and we make mistakes. But God is still strong enough that his plan never, I said this a moment ago, never becomes so far off its tracks that he doesn't provide another on-ramp. I use these illustrations all the time, and I've had one recently where my GPS on my phone is giving me three different options of travel. Well, you know, living in Birmingham, one of those options has to be what's traffic like where I'm headed. And so that's another window that you got to open up. But listen, understanding that when you take the facts and lay those down and begin to put those in place, then you arrive at a decision. And now you begin to walk that way or drive that way or wherever you're going and trusting those directions. And sometimes, and I do this, and my wife gets nutty about this, is I'll just decide when the GPS says to go one way, I'm thinking, well, I know better. I know another route, and I'll go the other way. And inevitably, it has to reprogram, and there's that window of uncertainty. Is it going to know where I am and how to get me out of here back to where I need to go? Man, I love testing those things. And it's always got me back going. Listen, God is the same way. Now, I don't tell you that you need to go out and start turning right when he tells you to turn left. But when you are doing stupid things and begin to mess up God's plan in your life, we never have to worry about getting lost in that. You understand? There's never a point where God is like, I don't know how to get you back on the right path now. You know, it's gone. It's over. There's not enough love in the world or power to get you back. You've messed it up so bad. I don't even know how to go forward on this. That would never be said by God. He will always be able to recalculate. And here's the thing that blows your mind. He already knew from the beginning you were going to do that. So he's already created the detours and the reprogramming and the on-ramps to get you back onto his plan. He already did that. And when you begin to experience that, you begin to see his power and his strength to to overcome our stupidity sometimes. See, this is what I think the world needs to know, and I hear this all the time. Well, Brother Keith, you just don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know what life I had before you knew me. You don't understand the kinds of things I've done. No, I don't. Maybe I don't want to know. But listen, God knows, and there is no person that God says, well, you are so far away from me. You are such a sinner that there's no way I can save you. I don't have enough love left. That will never be said. He already knows what you've done, and he has already provided the grace through what Christ did on the cross to forgive you of those sins and to restore you and put you back in the center of his plan and for you to be what he originally created you to believe, be, I believe. And so that's something the lost world needs to hear. And for all the people that we talk about, Paul is a great example of this. We said in our first week that Paul probably was directly, if not indirectly, responsible for the death of some of the disciples. So, and he had a reputation that sort of preceded him. And here he is on his way to arrest believers in Damascus. And God saves him. And so the continuation of that journey is Paul's now changed by the very power of God and the love that we're talking about, and he changes him, and Paul becomes one of the largest contributors of the New Testament. He becomes one of the primary missionaries of the New Testament times, of carrying the gospel into the lost world, and particularly to the Gentiles. If God can change Paul's heart and forgive him and put him in a place where he can be used, there's nobody alive today that he can't do that for. And it's learning to trust that, but also communicate that. And the lost world is skeptical of this, I know. And that's where I think our testimonies come in. I mean, I don't have one of those crazy testimonies that like some of you have that, you know, I did all kinds of crazy things. I got saved when I was 12. I mean, I didn't really do that many bad things at that point, but I was a sinner. But listen, God changed me and he's still changing me. And being able to understand that and being able to let God use that to share that with lost people, that's where they can argue all they want about what we said about truth last week. They can even argue about the idea of God being big enough to create a plan. What they can't argue about is what you've seen God do in your life and the change that he's made and the transformation that he's made and is continuing to make and the power that he gives you. And the hope that he provides and the joy that goes beyond all understanding. They can't argue against those things because those things become realities for you because of you experiencing a God that loves you so much that he's created a plan to incorporate you in that. And so we have to be able to not just say it, but show it to the lost world. God is big enough. He's created the plan. Number two, we said God is strong enough to keep his plan even when we get in the way and mess it up. And number three is this. And you know we're going here, but God loves us enough to include us in his plan. Now we've kind of established this, but I think as we communicate with the lost world, not only do we need to talk about how big he is to create it and strong enough to keep us out of trouble in it, but we also need to understand what motivates it. It's his love. He loves you so much that he has factored a place for you. And while at the moment you may not understand it or even like the place, God has placed you there for his purpose and his meaning. And as we think about our spiritual gifts and all of the things that he's created us to be and do for him, and I think that includes things like your passion, your personality, your sphere of influence, all of those things God, I believe, have orchestrated to be used by him. And there are certain things that he's created you to do that he's given you a unique opportunity to do because it's part of his plan for you. And when you choose not to do that, I go back to what I've said a moment ago. God's plan's not thrown off the rails, and he doesn't say, well, that one person is not going to receive Christ because you weren't obedient to be the tool and the instrument. You know what he's going to do? He's going to send someone else to do that. God's big enough to keep that going. And I don't believe, while we understand that God gives us opportunities, that because of our disobedience, I don't believe God's plan is all thrown off. So God will send. And where do we learn that from? Esther. And what does he tell Esther? If you don't do this for such a time as this, then I'll send someone else. If Moses hadn't agreed to go lead the children of Israel out, then we wouldn't be celebrating Moses anymore. We'd be celebrating somebody else that was obedient. And the difference is, Moses wouldn't have received the blessing that God gave him, and Esther wouldn't have received the blessing and the mark in history that she was given. And you and I won't receive the blessing and the growth and the understanding that God is using us because we're being disobedient. See, I think we get sort of arrogant in the world where we think if we don't do it, it doesn't get done. And I know people may tell you that, but my belief is that God is bigger than our disobedience. And God will continue his plan. It may delay it a little bit. It may change it a little bit. But God will use someone else. Now, that's not to give you an excuse not to be obedient. That is to give you a warning that God wants to use you. He's given you the choice to decide whether you're going to be used by him. So that neighbor, that workmate, that family member that is lost and you're struggling with about how to have that conversation, maybe you don't like them enough to share Christ with them, maybe you struggle with understanding them, whatever excuses you use, then you're missing what God has for you and you're being disobedient because you're not being faithful in where God has put you. However, he's going to bring somebody else in to do that. And then you miss that blessing, and now you have to struggle with that disobedience. I just think the world needs to understand that God loves us so much that he's placed us in his plan, but he gives us the choice to follow that plan. But it's not a fact that he doesn't love us when that plan gets messed up. He loves us in spite of the fact that sometimes we don't follow that plan. And he's big enough, as we've said. He's strong enough, and he's included us in that plan. Now here's the huge question that sometimes comes when we have these encounters with lost people. Well, how do you know that plan? Well, as we've said, it's about spending time with him. It's about being around his people. And like I've said, in my life, it's never, you know, this big bright light that comes on and says, well, this is the plan. This is the way you need to go. Sometimes it's a struggle. As I've said, sometimes I don't know what the next step is. Sometimes God does show me 3 or 4 steps. But it's about just trusting him and trusting him in that moment for whatever I can see and then taking that step. And then believing that he's going to be at that next step. See, if you're wired like me, you struggle with that. You want to see the whole plan. You want to see everything from beginning to end. You want to understand it and then have opportunity. There's a reason why I think God doesn't give me that whole plan in the beginning, because I'll begin to edit and change it and mess it up. And so by having just that singular view, it allows me to trust that. Listen, the world needs to understand that. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, doesn't mean the big light comes on and now you begin to see everything that God is doing and you understand it. It's not that. It's more that you understand he's at work now, but maybe you don't see it. But the deeper you grow and the more you understand, you're able to discern that I just need to stay on this path until he tells me otherwise. And I need to walk through this door because that's the way he's directing me. I do believe this. God uses the scriptures. I think he uses people to sometimes direct us in his way. Okay? Sometimes I think he uses circumstances. I mean, I think he does. When there are 3 doors and 2 of them are locked but 1 is open, I think that's pretty common sense that maybe that's the door that God wants you to walk through. But you don't do that with sort of a cavalier attitude. You walk through that door understanding that I need to make sure this is the door and I need to take steps very carefully and walk in it, and then God will assure you of that. Now, I've told this story, but when Leanne and I moved to South Carolina, I believed that he wanted us there. I'd struggled with it, but prayed about it, and Leanne felt the same way, and the circumstances were opening up, but I didn't have that peace. It was almost like I was walking through the door like I'm describing for you right now, and I'm still sort of hesitant, looking around and understanding. Well, dadgum, we had loaded the truck, and by the way, we got too small of a truck, So I had to go back and get the U-Haul trailer to put on the truck. When you see someone driving down the road like that, you know that that guy didn't get a big enough truck to begin with. And so he had to go back and get another piece. And so that's what we had to do. And so there we were driving to South Carolina. And I'll never forget this. It was about Augusta where God just began to kind of lay on me, hey, I know you're struggling with this, and you may not understand this, but this is where I want you to be. And it was in the cab of that rental U-Haul that I got the peace that I never doubted from that point forward, that that's where we needed to be. And then circumstances and people and other things began to kind of reiterate that. Listen, I'm not trying to say that follow my path. I struggled with that. But there was that opportunity where I knew, because I trusted him, when I walked through that door, I knew in every other part of my life that he gave me that assurance and that peace that I was looking for, and he would do that then. He'll do the same thing in your life. It's just a matter of being patient with it and trusting him and understanding that he loves you enough, that he's strong enough, and that he's big enough to create the plan. And no matter where you may find yourself this morning, God's plan is part of it if you'll choose to let that be part of it and let him be what we say, what is it? The author and the perfecter of our faith. But he is the author and perfecter, as Hebrews says, of our lives as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your word. And again, just the opportunities we've spent several now weeks, and we'll finish up next week in our journey through Acts 17. And God, I pray that as we struggle with each one of these, I think, kind of obstacles each week, that you would give us real opportunity in these days ahead to be able maybe to have a conversation with someone this week, us as a believer and maybe them, a struggling believer or a lost person, about God's plan and giving us really the opportunity to experience it to the degree in our life that we now can feel comfortable communicating that with the lost world. God, our world is in such desperate need, as we've said, of you and your forgiveness and the acknowledgement of your love and all of what we understand to be salvation. And God, I know that while you are big enough and strong enough to save people just by the snap of your fingers, you've chosen to use your church. That's not just a building, but it's individual believers who collectively making up the church to go into the world as the tools and instruments to carry your grace and the gospel message and the truth of who you are. And you've given us, we believe, in this Acts 17 world, the Mars Hill opportunities in our lives. It could be in our work. It could be in our community. It could be in our sphere of friends. It could be at our dinner table. But you've given us an opportunity, and you've really given us all of the things that we need to be able to articulate what we believe to be the truth, and as we've said today, the experience of your plan in our life to a lost world. And God, I just want to add this in. We do that not because we're fearful of being disobedient. We do that because we love you enough that we want to be obedient, and we want to love those around us as you command us to, enough to share these things with them. God, I don't know how much time we have left on this world. I don't know when the rapture will occur. None of us do. But we know for whatever moments or years we have left, whatever that may be, that we should be at work being the tools and instruments that you've called us to be. Now, God, I go back to that lost person that we asked to kind of think through these things in the very beginning. And I want to lead them in a prayer just in hope that maybe they're at a stage where they're ready to accept Christ this morning. And this is not a ritualistic prayer. It's not a magic prayer. This is just words that we pray in our heart. And I want to encourage them to pray these words in their own heart, with their own words. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in desperate need of forgiveness. And this morning, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want to ask Jesus into my heart, and today I want to make him the Lord of my life. And I want to choose to follow him this day forward. Now, if you've prayed that prayer or a prayer like that, and you're here, then I want to encourage you to come down and share that with me. If you're at home or watching this, then if you know a believer, call them and tell them. If you don't know a believer, then call the church and let us know. It's important, if you've made a decision to accept Christ, that you have some follow-up and maybe just a little guidance. Now, for the rest of us as believers, kind of comes down to, do we believe God's plan is at work in our lives? Are we willing to be obedient to it even when we don't understand it? And then to be able to share that with the lost world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?